Welcome to the Marketing Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Barker. In the last two episodes, I've been talking with Francis B., the founder and managing director of 11 International. From cross-cultural marketing to his agency's approach to work, we've discussed it all in the previous episodes. Today, we'll talk about how effective PR and influencer marketing really are to grow your business. So, when we talk about how important is like public relations when it comes to digital communication, because you obviously, you know, you were a journalist in the past, and you've done a lot of stuff in regards to PR. You've seen both sides of it now. How important is it like when it comes to PR? I mean, is that the major piece when it comes to digital communication?
I'm always pretty straightforward with my clients. PR is something that you need, but not everybody is prepared for. That's the best way to put it, because, you know, you're spending money into a thing that isn't necessarily, at least when, you know, like the US press is concerned, you can't really guarantee results. And that's a really hard, You know, it's for PR, even though it's sort of top of funnel, technically speaking, if you look at sort of the marketing or sales funnel, you know, they treat it as sort of bottom of the funnel marketing activities. Obviously, there are strategies to kind of implement, you know, bottom of funnel results, like, you know, drive direct sales. But, you know, it doesn't quite apply the way it would in China to sort of the US. And so, you know, it builds a brand. You know, people need to kind of build that trust, credibility with third party sort of objective sources of information to be sort of sold on, you know, on that company. Because, you know, for example, I the company that I was mentioning that was launching the battery pack, the battery charger, you know, frankly speaking, their product is everywhere locally. But the problem is that nobody actually knows who it's from. So they just think of it as just some like cheap accessories hardware brand. But there's actually a brand behind it. It's just they haven't been really willing to kind of communicate that, because, you know, some of the apprehension is what's my ROI. And obviously this is a question that I'm sure, you know, you would get based in sort of like the US, for example, with US clients as well, because we've worked with some in Silicon Valley. But, you know, a lot of these companies based in China, they think really of everything almost as sort of a bottom of the funnel activity. So it's like, what's my direct ROI? If I spend $1 on PR, what does that get me? And you know, it's, you know, there are ways to kind of talk around that, but it's not quite the most effective mindset. And for those companies that are sort of in that mindset and hard to change, because, you know, they just think, oh, you know, I have the best product in the world and people will want to talk about it. But obviously that's not going to be the case. That's technically where we should come in. But, you know, if you're coming from that mindset, it's to some degree, you need some process of education. You need to kind of, you know, whether it's in conversations with us, whether it's making mistakes with another agency, something needs to change. You know, that's also why, to a large degree, we tend to be a bit more sort of selective with the companies that we work with. Like, for example, a lot of companies in Beijing, they're actually very, very open-minded about, and more mature, I think, in terms of branding marketing and understanding the importance of PR. Whereas companies in like Shenzhen, they're, you know, a lot of factories right now, for example, they need to kind of, especially with everything that's happening in the world. And so you'll see a lot of them are right now trying to, like, what they're calling, trying to build their own brand. So they're not necessarily business itself, but, you know, they're coming from a mindset of, you know, like, you know, for every dollar I have to get, you know, X dollars back. So like a lot of the times for these companies, just online advertising through media buying through like Facebook or Google, frankly speaking, in the beginning is the best. And then eventually they'll sort of come to a realization because like you kind of hit a wall as to why sort of the brand is important. And, you know, some companies are more equipped for that. And we've worked with some based in Shenzhen that sort of have a bit more of a open mind and more of an understanding, but you know, there's a lot of companies out there that sort of think very differently. And so we have to be a little bit cautious.
So I got a, so, you know, we do influencer marketing stuff. And so I think that's always the question with influencer marketing, kind of deal with that is like, well, I'm going to spend whatever, 10 grand a month or whatever the number is. And then what's my ROI, right? That's always, the ROI is always the big question. So, and I know that you work with a lot of companies when it comes to like influencer marketing, you know, KOL initiatives. What advice would you give to companies that are looking to do like influencer marketing or KOL initiatives? What would be your advice for them?
Yeah, so I've seen the industry from my experience. I don't know what it's been like for you, but I've seen sort of the what we call the ROI decrease significantly with sort of the high and the top level influencers. You know, like you know the big guys in like for instance like the reviewers or big tech reviewers, and so as a result, we've seen, you know, even spending like $40,000. I remember one of my clients was really wanted to work with this one KOL. They spent $40,000 on the video and it delivered zero sales. Oh. Literally zero. That they were not happy. And, I mean, obviously they learned their lesson. So what happened then is since then they've been working with sort of a high volume of mid-sized and sort smaller influencers as a result, and sort of had put less of a reliance on these sort of like larger YouTubers.
One person, one campaign, one thing, praying that it works.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of what we've seen, but I don't know what the experience has been for you. So it's I think the value of the influencers for those large guys in terms of like engagement has definitely dropped quite a bit since things have started. And you know, the larger they get as well, they command a higher budget, and it just, you know, seemingly just never stops increasing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the issue is that people, you know, you're working with influencers. I don't ever recommend that you just use one influencer, do one campaign and put your whole budget into it because, it, you know, it's like you're just rolling the dice and you just, and if it doesn't go well, it's terrible. And most of the time, see, the influencer marketing, you know, 6, 5, 6, 7 years ago, potentially was that because people really didn't know what influencer marketing was. They're like, oh, this is my person I follow. I love them. And they're recommending this. I should go after it. Now people are very keen to it. And you know, you shouldn't, you know, it needs to be a campaign. It's not just one post, one thing and blow your budget on one person. You should diversify. You should have it over multiple people and see what works with each influencer. So I think hopefully brands, if you're listening, please don't just, you know, I don't care who it is, unless you just have a lot of money to spend and you just want to throw some money down, hey, rock on. But if you really want to be educated about it, it's not, you know, it's no different than what I always talk about, no different than PPC or SEO. Like you're not just going to go after just one thing. You're going to go after, you know, try multiple funnels. You're going to try different things. Same with influencers. You don't, you know, people come to me and go, I worked with one influencer on Instagram and just influencer marketing doesn't work. And I'm like, you know, there's like millions of influencers and that's not the only platform. Like there's other platforms. You know, so it's this kind of weird thing of, you know, people just assume that, you know, I tried it once and it didn't work. And it's like, that's not, I tried to go after one keyword. I did one ad on Facebook. Well, that's okay. That's great. What about the other 10,000 ideas and ads you should be putting up? You know, you just got to diversify a little bit. But so tell us a little bit about the future, man. Like, what are you guys going to be doing at 11 International? Like, what's the future? You guys obviously have some awesome clients when it comes to, you know, all the cool stuff, AI and you know, machine learning and all the cool stuff. So what does the future hold for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think a lot of things in China have kind of gone back to normal. So it is, the way I see it, sort of an opportunity for us to kind of actually build our own brand as well, which yeah. is, I guess, to some degree why I'm sort of starting off with like this podcast and looking forward to doing other things. But, you know, we've had technology sort of as the bread and butter of the types of clients that we work with. And at the same time, though, we're kind of experimenting with lifestyle brands as well. We've just done like a Duvet as well. They launched the product on Kickstarter. They're actually backed by a you know prominent VC as well. But yeah, we're looking for sort of opportunities to grow and sort of take a chance. You know, even despite during these times, for us to kind of like you know break out per se. And take advantage of sort of the time and the opportunities that we have right now.
It's awesome, man. It's awesome. I can't wait to see what you guys do, man. You guys have already done some awesome stuff. And I do think there's a lot of opportunity, especially, you know, you can work on your brand a little bit, right? Things slow down probably a little bit. And now it's like time to get back out there, man. It's time to get back to work.
Oh. Wait, for some reason though, building your own brand is hard.
It is. Well, you know, it is. But that's why people need people to like you to come in, right? Because it is hard. If not, we would just all build our own brand. Like even my brand, like, I look at my brand and I don't cringe at what we've built, you know, because I think it's good, but I look at it and I go, God, I just feel like it could be better. You know, it's just so hard when you're in the middle of it, you know, but that's why you have outside agencies that come in and say, listen, you're doing this good, but this over here, what you've been doing, you really got to switch this up, bud. And then you go, okay, that's why I'm paying you the big bucks, because I don't see it. I'm in the middle of it. You know, that's why it's so important.
Yeah. And I think at the same time for us, we're sort of recognizing that, you know, kind of going back to the sort of the cross-border thing, that there is sort of increasing need or desire, especially with everything that's happening, to work with agencies that are culturally mindful and understanding of sort of their, you know, current situation, and able to kind of help guide them from a, you know, a point that can, you know, obviously help them build their company, because, you know, there are a lot of companies that just don't understand, like, for instance, certain businesses, like, for instance, live streaming in China, or actually Asia in general, has a very different connotation from sort of the extremes that you might find in the US. You know, like, there's camming live streaming, but then there's also gaming, right? But in Asia, live streaming is just thought of as an e-commerce platform. And then at the same time, it's also thought of as a place where you can chat with, like, you know, young girls who are just like vlogging, or they're VJing, they're like DJing per se. They're just having conversations with a lot of their customers, and there's huge business for this. The product wouldn't necessarily apply to the US, right? Or to the rest of the world if they're building a brand, because, you know, people may perceive that in a way that you didn't really intend it to perceive that. So these are sort of like the cultural and sort of these like cross-border issues that we, you know, we're coming in to solve, because people realize that we have a really good understanding of these things, that even, you know, we when we bid for clients, we actually compete with agencies in the US most of the time. So there's this sort of growing need and trend of working with agencies like ours due to these various reasons.
Yeah. Well, it makes total sense, man. Once again, it's like, if you're going to go into a new market, into another country, like, they have to have experience there. Like, if they don't, I mean, great, you're great big in the US, but if you're going to another market, it's a totally different deal. And I think that's why I was excited about having you on the podcast, because I think it's important for people to understand that if you're going to go international, make sure you know when you're going into another country what you're going to be dealing with, and how you're going to, your messaging, and how you're going to be putting out there, because it's extremely important. Because, you know, you can go in and spend all kinds of money, mess things up, and say something dumb. There's all kinds of great examples of that online. You know, you really have to, you have to know what you're doing. And I think it's important to talk to people first and have somebody in there that's going to help you better understand the process, so you don't go in there and do anything dumb.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of US companies that enter China. They actually do. And, you know, like, a lot of lifestyle brands, they just think, oh, I'll, you know, dump a bunch of money, I'll hire just some, you know, somebody who looks good in terms of their credentials, and it's kind of just, you know, things will work out for me. But it's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, there's always a lot more moving pieces. Well, cool, man. So we got enough. We got some good stuff about 11 International. I'm excited about that. Excited about the future of you guys. So now this is kind of our fun section of the podcast. This is where we ask you some questions that, nothing too hard, you know, I mean, they're all stuff that you can answer. I'm kind of excited about this one. This is actually, there was one place, now I'm excited to hear your answer, because you obviously are well seasoned when it comes to traveling. What is one place that if you can go in the world for free that you could go? Now, this would be, COVID is out of the way, right? We're not worried about anything like that. Like, one place in the world that you could go for free, where would that be?
Huh.
I know you've been a lot of places. You're like, do I go back to that place? Do I go to a new place? I know, a lot of options.
To be honest, I would want to go back to Beijing right now.
Would you? Yeah. Well, why can't you go back to Beijing? Is it just a travel situation?
Yeah, due to the travel situation. So I think they're starting to open up the borders again, but I have even if you have like a work visa, for example, right now they are barring certain people from certain countries, I guess, right now. I think they opened it up to Europe, but I believe they just recently also opened up to everybody else. But yeah, so I'm kind of just keeping an eye on that.
Yeah, so maybe soon.
So.
Yeah, so maybe you get back soon. So my next question is, if you could have any superpower, what would that superpower be? I mean, I feel like you'd be Superman, so you could fly back to Beijing because then you don't have to worry about anything, right? But what would be another? What would be another superpower?
Let me think. I don't know. Maybe to read other people's minds.
That's what I was thinking. I don't know why. I almost said that. I don't know why I thought I was thinking. Because, you know, what you would love to do is stay in the middle of two CEOs and read their mind and say, don't say that. Don't do that. Hold on a second. Like, you know, be able to stop them ahead of time. Like, no. I know what you're about to do. It was like Mel Gibson. What was that movie where he would, all the women that went by and he could hear what they were, you know, hear what they were saying? Kind of the same deal of like, you know, no. Hold on. Let's wait. Don't wait. You know, where you can kind of read people's mind. I love that. So this is going to be our last question. So if you could have dinner, dead or alive, with three people, and once again, this is any three people, who are the three people you'd have at your dinner table?
Oh.
I mean, obviously, other than me, because obviously I know I would be the first person, I'm sure, for... I'm just kidding. I don't expect to be at your table. Three important people. How about that?
You know, to be honest, I think it just kind of depends on any given day for me, because I mean, like, I actually haven't really grown up with any idols per se. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I know people idolize Steve Jobs or whatever. You know, for me, I think of things a bit more practically. It's like, you know, like for instance, you asked me the question of what's next for 11 International. I would actually want to talk to maybe like Ogle, like, you know, the founder of Ogilvy.
Yeah.
A really good idea of how to like build the business, because I've been kind of like, you know, obviously there's like the normal marketing strategies that you can use, but you know, there's stuff maybe tailored for helping agencies grow and stuff like that I've been taking a look at as well. But you know, surprisingly for PR agencies, no one wants to talk about PR agencies.
Right.
So there's actually a lot of resources for building startups, but you seem to be kind of like missing.
That's too funny. Well, maybe you'll be that guy that will talk about the PR side of things, who knows, right?
But yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a bit more practical, I think. So it's, you know, it kind of depends if there are things that, you know, I'm sort of like struggling with, you know, those are sort of, and I recognize that there are people that can potentially help me with that. Those are definitely things that I would want at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. To take advantage of that hour, 2 hour dinner and learn some stuff, right? No, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So Francis B, man, this was awesome. This really was, man. We have 11 International, your company. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And if anybody wants to get in contact with you or reach out to you, how can they get in contact with you?
They can reach out to our website, which is actually the two numbers, 11, and then .international. There's no .com. A lot of people get mixed up with this, but it's actually 11, which is 11, .international.
I thought it was creative. I did. When I saw that, I thought, that's awesome. Because I know most people think of the .com, but when I said it, I said, this guy's creative, dude. 11.international. I like that.
Yeah, no, people get confused, though. That's kind of like the caveat. People are like, wait, 11.international.com? And I'm like, no, actually, it's actually just 11 International.
we're the future. No more .com, folks. We're using some different domain names. Awesome. And then people, what about your email address? Anything fun like that? Or what about any social stuff?
My email is Francis. So my first name, FRANCIS @11.international.
Awesome. Well, you guys, and if you guys like listening to the podcast today and you like what you hear, make sure you guys are subscribing to the podcast. Francis, once again, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Before I signed off, I want to remind you guys that you can get in touch with my team at ShaneBarker.com if you want to leverage content marketing, SEO, influencer marketing, or social media marketing to grow your business. I'll be back with another interesting conversation soon. Stay tuned to the Marketing Growth Podcast.